First of all, before we start, the show has been out since 2016. It's been downloaded over 2 million times. I look on Apple Podcasts. I have less than 400 reviews. How the hell is that possible? Go on Apple Podcasts and leave a goddamn review of the show. Now let's get to the business.
Stayolay.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively. That aggression with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
You listen to the show every day to be the best version of yourself. And every episode here, we talk about locating and activating that inner drive so you can be the best you from within. That's why I'm telling you about my book, The Mirror of Motivation, which I am making available free for a limited time. This is a free physical copy. If you go to mirrorofmotivation.com to claim your free copy of this book while supplies last, you will get the self-guide to self-discipline, over 100 pages of finding that inner drive, locating that discipline that you need to build up your confidence and become the best version of you no matter what your goals are in life. So go to mirrorofmotivation.com and claim your free copy of the self-guide to self-discipline while supplies last. Gets no better than tuning in to the show where you learn the discipline that moves you to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there even when the success you've expected to achieve is yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative, the go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen, putting all this together, get the mindset, the method, the podcast, the book, the philosophy, the everything. Called Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic is how to change your story. Now, I don't mean the story that has already happened in the past. I mean the story that's going on in your mind right now. I mean, we all have a running dialogue in our brains all day. It's a Q&A session, internal Q&A session that we call thinking, but that's all it is. Asking ourselves a question, answering that question. Asking a question, answering that question. It's just a back and forth we have with ourselves all the time. And if you can change the quality of those questions, then you're going to change the quality of the answers. And thusly, you will change the quality of your life, your actions, your habits, your relationships, your everything. And I wrote a book called Ask Yourself a Better Question that'll help you out with that. If you go to workonmygame.com, it'll show you exactly how that's done. The thing about the questions, though, the reason I'm bringing up those questions and those answers is that those questions and answers basically are the outline of the story of your life. The kind of questions that you ask, if any of you have ever been to court or any of you know a lawyer, maybe you are a lawyer or you watch any of those law TV shows, Law and Order, New York Undercover, any movie about the law where they actually show what's going on in the courtroom. The way that a lawyer asks a question can shape what type of answers could possibly come from that question. For example, if someone is doing something that you didn't expect them to do, or they're just not performing at the level you expect them to perform at, you could say to them, hey, I noticed that you're not performing at your normal level. You know, is everything okay? You could ask that question. That's one question that you could ask. That's a reasonable, fair question, right? Or you could also say to that person, yo, what the hell is wrong with you? Both of those are reasonable, logical questions, depending on your situation, depending on your demeanor, depending on who you are, who you're talking to. Both are reasonable, logical questions, but you can agree that each of those questions will produce probably completely different answers from the exact same person, depending on when you say it, how you say it, and how that person decides to take what you're saying to them. So the quality of the question matters a whole lot. So you could take that same scenario that I just gave you and think about how you could shape your own life, shape the own story that you have about yourself based on the questions that you're asking yourself. So, for example, let's say you're trying to achieve something that's really important for you. It was a big goal for you in 2019, and you find out that due to certain circumstances, some of which are under your control and some of which are not, you will not be able to achieve that outcome in 2019 as you expected. Maybe you could do it next year, maybe 5 years from now, but you know it's not going to happen this year. There are different questions that you could ask yourself based on that new information. You could say to yourself, okay, since this didn't happen this year, what can I do to start preparing myself to make sure I achieve this goal in 2020, since I'm not going to get it in 2019? That's one question that you could ask yourself. That's a productive question. It's an actionable question. It's a forward-thinking question. It's a positively framed question, even though it's based on this truth that you've come to accept that you're not going to achieve your outcome. But that is a logical question you could ask yourself. At the same time, you could ask yourself, who is to blame for this? Who has done me wrong in this situation? Who messed up that caused me to not be able to reach my goal? Why is this always happening to me? Why am I always the one who doesn't get lucky? Why don't I have favorable things working? Why don't I have favorable circumstances working for me the way this person and that person and all these people over there have favorable things working for them? You could ask that question as well, or those questions as well. And you can see that which set of questions you choose to ask yourself will shape the story that you decide to tell yourself. Because if you ask yourself that second set of questions that I gave you there, you're going to come up with a whole bunch of answers, but those answers are probably not going to serve you. They're not going to help move you forward. They'll keep you in the same spot. They'll keep you going backwards. They will probably not help you achieve that goal that you missed out on 2019. They're probably going to cause you to miss out on it again in 2020. If you even set it as a goal in 2020, given those questions, maybe you'll just give up on it completely. If you ask yourself that first question, now you're giving yourself a new chapter. You're turning a new page and saying, all right, how can I rewrite this situation to make it work in my favor the next time around? So you can see there, just by that basic example that I'm giving you, that raw example that I'm giving you, the way that you frame the questions that you ask yourself can determine what kind of story you have about yourself in your mind. And here's the next thing you got to understand. The story that you have about yourself in your mind will play itself out in your actions, in your habits, in the way that you talk, in your tone of voice, in the way that you carry yourself, in your physical posture, in your spiritual, your emotional posture, the way that other people perceive you, and thusly the way other people deal with you. So everything in your life, in other words, what I'm saying here, is shaped by the story that you are telling yourself. That's why it's very important. If the story that you have in your mind right now is not the story that you want, then you need to change it. And today, I'm going to give you some tools to empower you to change that story, to alter that story to your liking. So let's get a definition of this word story. Definition is an account of imaginary or real people and events told for entertainment. I want you to listen to that definition one more time. And again, that book that I mentioned is called Ask Yourself a Better Question. You can get that at workonmygame.com/ask. Definition of story: an account of imaginary or real people and events told for entertainment. Today, we're going to talk about how to change your story. We're going to come back to that. But today, we're going to talk about how to change your story if for any part of that story is not going the way that you want it to be going right now, or you don't like where the story seems to be leading based on how it's going to this point. Point number one, today's topic, once again, is how to change your story. That definition, again, remember there was two key words that were in that definition I want you to think about. And those words were imaginary or real. It's actually three words, but the two words I'm pointing out are imaginary and real, which means this: if what has happened to you up to this point in your life, or happened for you, or happened through you, is a better way of putting it, so far in your life, is if it is not to your liking, you can change that story anytime that you want. And the story does not have to necessarily be based on, quote, reality, quote unquote, because a lot of what we call reality, quote unquote, is just based on our perspective. See, there are a whole lot of different let me explain what I mean by that when I say that our reality is based on our perspective, because many people may think, well, reality is just reality. Like, it is what it is. Just one fact is just one truth. You can't have two different realities to the exact same situation. But on the contrary, you absolutely can. You can have 1,000 different realities to one situation that is not different at all. Everyone can be looking at the same thing and see something completely different. As I believe Scott Adams was the first person I heard say this, he wrote a book on persuasion called Win Bigly. If you haven't read that book, I suggest you do. But he calls it two movies, one screen. In other words, the two of us, me and you, could experience the exact same situation and have completely different perspectives on what took place. We could go through the same thing, whether a good thing or a bad thing, and feel completely different about it individually, even though we experience the exact same thing. So the perspective means a whole lot. So if you don't like what's been happening so far in your life, you don't like what the story is right now in your life, you can change that story anytime by, first of all, simply changing your perspective. So the same things have already happened. You can't change the past, but you can change the way that you look at it. And all of a sudden, the story is completely different. I'll give you an example. Andy Andrews. If you don't know who he is, he's a personal development guy. I heard him speak at a conference once. He wrote a book called The Noticer. And this is a book that I do recommend that you read, because this book is all about perspective in life. And in the book, he's telling this the story that he says is a true story. He says, Andy Andrews says this is his actual story. And if you ever seen Andy Andrews, he's this middle-aged white guy, really jolly guy, seems like really happy guy, always positive dude. That's just the type of guy he seems to be. But he told in this story, a part of him that you would never guess is that at one point in his life, in his early adulthood, he was poor, broke, homeless, living under the pier at the beach. That's where, I don't know what beach, what part of the country this was, but that's where he was. And he was a very not friendly guy. He was a not happy guy. There was nothing positive going on in his life. And in this story, there was this guy who had came around the town where he lived, where Andy lived. And this guy he had a name. I think he called him Jones. I believe the name was that he used in the book, Jones. But read the book, The Noticer, you'll get more of the story. But the noticer, this random dude who just walked up on Andy Andrews while he's living under the pier. And Andy Andrews wasn't the guy that you wanted to approach at that time, according to the story. And this guy started talking to him a little bit. He was a friendly guy. So Andy relaxed a little bit and talked to him. And the guy said, hey, I got some food for you. You want something to eat? And at this time, Andy, it was hard for food to come by for him. So he took the food and they had like some hot dogs and sardines. They were sitting under the pier eating hot dogs and sardines early in the morning. And this is basically Andy Andrews' home under the pier of the beach. And the noticer, this random guy who had walked up to Andy, asked him, hey, what did we just have to eat? Because this is when he was first starting to teach him about, hey, if you just change your perspective, you could change a whole lot about your life, even though you may not change the physical circumstances. Andy Andrews said, well, we had hot dogs and sardines sitting under the pier of a beach. What's the big deal about that? And this guy said to him, well, that's what you had. You had hot dogs and sardines sitting under the pier. I had surf and turf with an ocean view. And that was the first lesson that Andy Andrews was being taught by this random guy about perspective. Same situation, just a different way of looking at it. Two movies on the same screen. And this is the beginning. This is the seed right here. If I didn't tell you anything else today, if you could just take whatever you've gone through and frame it differently, just decide to look at it from a different angle, which may be hard for you to do if you've been looking at it from the exact same angle for so long and you told yourself over and over and over again, you have incanted to yourself that this situation is whatever the situation, whatever you decided that it is, you've incanted this quote reality, close quote, into your mind so much that you can't even see anything different. This is where you may need to seek some help. You may need to seek some outside help, someone who has a fresh perspective, a fresh set of eyes, a second opinion, if you will, on your situation that could maybe look at it a little bit different from you. That's an investment that you would need to make. And point number two, today's topic is how to change your story. If you want to change your story, since the first thing I already told you is that a story is imaginary or real, and you can imagine a different way of looking at what is your reality. So you see that imaginary and real are not diametrically opposed. You can just imagine a different way of seeing your reality that is 100% true. It's just a different way of looking at it. But the second option that you have, or actually it's not even a second option, this is a second step, we can say. It could be a second option. You could do this instead, but you can also do these in conjunction with each other, is you got to delete what you've written so far in your story. If you really don't like where you are right now, who you are, what you're doing, what results you produce, what results you have not produced, the opportunities that you have missed, the opportunities you've taken advantage of that maybe you should not have taken advantage of, maybe you could just delete everything that you've written so far in your story and just start on a blank page. What's stopping you from doing that? I mean, you can't actually make the past go away, but there's no reason that you had to live your present and your future based on what has occurred in your past. There's nothing that says you have to do that. You're choosing to do that if you have done so far. I heard a story of a guy who was an author. Actually, I know he's an author because I read several of his books. And he was talking about a new book that he was writing. And he was about halfway through the book, maybe not even halfway, a third of the way through the book. This is a long book. This is about 100,000 page book. So he had 30 or 40,000 words already written for this new book that he was writing, but he really just didn't like the sound of the book. He didn't like the tone of it. He just wasn't feeling the material that he had written to that point. So what he did, and this is a story that he told, I didn't see him do this, but he said he did it. He said he went live on Facebook and he highlighted everything that he had written so far in Google, in Word, in his Word doc or Google Docs, wherever he was writing. He deleted the whole thing. He deleted everything he had been writing up to that point. 30,000 words written. Any of you ever written 30,000 words? He wrote 30,000 words, deleted the whole document right there live on Facebook because he wanted to show his audience that I'm not feeling this material and I don't feel this material is ripe for sale. I don't feel like I feel like I'd be shortchanging you as my audience to even sell you this book. I wouldn't even get this to you for free. So I'm deleting everything that I've given you here and I'm going to start all over and make sure this is right. I'm telling you that to, again, drive home this point that you can delete whatever you've written thus far if you're not feeling it. There's nothing stopping you from starting a brand new Word document or turning to a fresh page in your book. Robert Greene is another author who, I mentioned Robert Greene is my favorite author. He told this story as well. I recently heard him say this when he was writing his book, The 50th Law. And Robert's written, what, 5 or 6 books? But when he's writing The 50th Law, his book he did in conjunction with 50 Cent, he said when he first turned in his first, you know, draft of the book, The 50th Law, his publishers didn't really like what he had, but more importantly, Robert didn't really like how he had written the book. He said that because he is a writer who's he writes in a very classical style. If you've read Robert Greene, he writes in a very classical writing style. He's a middle-aged Jewish guy, and he was writing a book with 50 Cent, this young hip-hop guy who came from Southside Queens, who was a drug dealer, rapping about stuff that Robert Greene probably had never done, never thought about, and probably wouldn't even say out of his mouth if he wanted to. He was writing a book with 50 Cent. So Robert Greene said when he wrote the first his first edition of The 50th Law, he was trying, incorrectly, later on he found out, to try to sound more like 50 Cent. He was trying to write in a tone of voice for which 50 Cent's audience would understand the book better. He said, I was trying to write for 50's audience, but instead, and this is what, actually, let me tell you what he decided to do before I tell you what he did instead. He deleted the whole thing. He deleted everything he had written to that point. And Robert Greene doesn't write short books. 50th Law is actually his shortest book, but it's a well-detailed, very detailed and well-researched book. He deleted everything he had written to that point after he had shown it to the publishers, and he has 6 months to finish the whole book. And 6 months is not a long time to finish a book. For any of you who have ever written a book, especially if you're working with a traditional publisher, it's 6 months is basically nothing. And Robert Greene had to rewrite that whole book in 6 months, which he did, which is why we had The 50th Law. What Robert Greene said he decided to do instead was, let me write more in my style. The style that I wrote for The 48 Laws of Power, The Art of Seduction, and 33 Strategies of War. Those are the three books he had written to that point. Let me write more in the style that I write. Let me write how Robert Greene writes instead of trying to sound like 50 Cent. And I'm glad he did that because The 50th Law is one of my favorite books of all time. The point that I'm giving you of both of these stories, both of these examples, is that just because you have written something to this point, no matter how much time you have invested in it, no matter how many words you have in your word processing document, no matter how much money your publishers have paid you to write the book, no matter who you're writing the book with, no matter what expectations the public may have of you, there is no reason why you must continue to write that exact same story just because you've already been writing it. I told this story in my second TED Talk. I've done 4 of them, but the second one I did was called How to Be Confident When You're Not. And I did this in Coconut Grove, Miami in 2016. I'd say that the thing about confidence, and the story that I gave there was of a basketball player. He was on a high school team. He was a mediocre at best player. On his best day, he was mediocre. Sometimes he didn't even get in the games on his team. But one day the coach said, each of you is going to pretend to be one of the players on the team. You're going to pretend to be one of your teammates all day in practice. So this day in practice, the coach is explaining, I'm going to go down the line and I'm going to tell each one of you to pretend to be one of your other teammates. And the reason why the coach had them do this is because he wanted each player to start showing his teammates his mistake. So let's say me and you are on a basketball team and the coach assigns me to be you all day. So whatever mistakes you make every day is my job this day to make those same mistakes. So if you're always turning the ball over, I'm gonna turn the ball over. If you're always shooting bad shots, I'll do that. If you don't play defense, I'm not gonna play defense. Whatever mistakes you're always making, whatever your bad habits are, I'm gonna emulate your bad habits, and you're gonna watch me so you can see what type of player you are through my eyes. That was the coach's experiment. It's a great idea. So this player that I was talking about in my TED Talk, his assignment was to be the best player on the team. He just got, by luck of the draw, his assignment was to be the guy who was the best player on the team. Future Division I player, leading scorer on the team. So this guy, now that he has been given this assignment to be the best player on the team, how does he play? He goes out there and dominates all day in practice. He's making all kinds of shots, doing all kinds of moves. He was the best player on the, he was looking like the best player on the floor all day that day. And everyone's looking at him crazy. Like, they had no idea he had these abilities, because as I told you, this guy was mediocre on his best day, but he was the best player on the court this one day when his assignment was to be the best player on the team. And the coach said to him after practice, listen, if that's what it takes, pretend to be the best player on the team every day, because you could be a damn good player if you play like that all the time. The problem with him is, the sad ending to the story is that he went right back to being his average self the very next day. But the point that I want you to take from that story is this. In that moment, during that day, during that practice at least, that mediocre at best player, he had given himself permission via his coach, but given himself permission to delete the entire story that he had written up to that point in his 16, 17 years of life and write a completely different story. There was no reason why he had to keep living that story just because. And his coach, through his coach's instruction, he had given himself permission to delete that story and write a different one. There's nothing stopping you from doing the same thing. The biggest thing that holds most of us back are our habits, our traditions, and the fact that we feel we need to be consistent with whom we've already been. You don't have to be consistent with things that you don't want. Be consistent with the things you want. All right, if you work out every day, be consistent with that. If you take care of your family and your kids and you go to work every day and do good stuff, be consistent with that. If you're happy, be consistent. If you eat some raw organic spinach straight out the box every morning, be consistent with that. But you don't have to be consistent with the things that aren't working in your favor. If you feel like you could do something completely different, if only you had the permission or if only you had the courage to do so, that's how you do it. And I suggest you go watch that TED Talk. You can get that courage. I'll show you exactly how to make it happen. It's the permission that you're giving yourself to delete what you've written. Just like those authors, these two authors that I just mentioned, you got to give yourself permission to do that, because a lot of people, once they've invested that much time, effort, energy into anything, especially a life, let alone a book, they don't want to delete it because I put all this time in. Why would I delete it? Well, that's the very thing that's holding you back. Point number three. Today's topic is how to write a different story. How about writing with a different instrument? You've been writing with a pen. How about write with a pencil? You've been writing with anger. How about start writing with happiness and cooperation? You've been writing with trying to play baseball. How about writing with trying to play basketball? You've been writing with working somewhere. How about writing with starting your own company? You've been writing with freelancing. How about writing with joining up with someone who already has something going on? There's nothing stopping you from just changing the weight, changing the instrument with which you are writing to craft a different story. So if you wrote your whole story so far with an ink pen and you don't like that story, maybe you should stop using an ink pen. Maybe you could write differently with the ink pen, but maybe if you just didn't use the ink pen, not only would you write something different, not only would it look and feel different, but maybe your willingness to change the instrument you're writing with from the ink pen to a fountain pen or a pencil, it would also open your mind up to some other possibilities for change. Just maybe. I don't know, but you would have to see to find out. But it's possible, right? Just like Robert Greene, I told you about Robert Greene. He was writing the 50th Law. His first draft, he was trying to sound like 50 Cent. He was trying to write for 50 Cent's audience. And Robert Greene, a middle-aged white Jewish man, realized he could not write like a dude from the hood who had all these tattoos, who had been shot, who used to deal drugs, who was a gangster rapper. He couldn't write like that guy. He couldn't write for that guy's audience because he's not him. So he decided to start writing like himself, and all of a sudden things started working and it became a best-selling book. In other words, for you, if you're looking to change your story, maybe you need to try a different approach from what you've been doing. Maybe what you've been doing is the same thing Robert was doing, was just trying to write a story as if you were someone other than who you are. Maybe if you just wrote it as who you are, it would actually work. Maybe, like this basketball player that I talked about in my TED Talk, instead of being who you've been up to this point, which ain't working, maybe if you just pretended to be the best at what you do, the best on your team, or some example that inspires or motivates you to try something different, maybe if you just pretended to be that one day, you could see what your possibilities were. Maybe. These are experiments that you have to try on your own. If you're trying to change your story, maybe you just need to try a different approach. It sounds trite, but you'd be surprised at how many people out there, including someone who's listening to this right now, don't like their situation yet. They never adjust their approach. They don't like their situation yet. They just keep doing that situation, saying, when is this going to change? When is this going to change? When am I going to get something different? But they keep doing the same thing they've always been doing. And if Robert Greene had done that, maybe we never would have got the 50th Law. Maybe the publisher would have canceled the book. Maybe the author that I told you deleted everything that he was writing, maybe he would have put out a half-assed book and he would have lost some of his audience as they said, this book is garbage. Maybe that basketball player who was mediocre at best, he wouldn't have a story to tell, and I would have had to use a different example in that TED Talk because his story wouldn't have been worth telling. He wouldn't have told it himself. I couldn't have used it. So maybe, just maybe, whatever you've been doing isn't working. You just need to try a different approach, which may be going back to something you did before, maybe doing something different from what you've ever done before. But let's recap today's topic, which is how to change your story. The definition of a story is an account of imaginary or real people and events told for entertainment. Today, we're talking about how to change your story if you don't like how it's been going thus far or how it looks today. Definition of story, remember those two words, imaginary and real. Those are the two words I want you to remember. And remember that the mind does not know the difference between imagination and reality. Whatever you decide to tell your mind, often enough, with enough emotional charge, the mind will accept and it will start to act it out. Which means, if what has happened to you so far in your life is not to your liking, you can change that story anytime you wish. Just like Andy Andrews said in his book, The Noticer, which is a story of his life, according to Andy Andrews, he was eating hot dogs and sardines under the pier. But someone else who had the exact same meal said, I had surf and turf with an ocean view. They were both right. Just different perspectives on what they were going through. Two movies on the same screen. Point number two, delete what you have written thus far. Robert Greene wrote the first version of the 50th Law. Publishers didn't like it. He didn't like it either. He deleted everything he had written and rewrote the whole thing in 6 months. Just because you have put so much time, effort, energy, attention, money into doing something doesn't mean you have to finish it. Doesn't mean you have to keep doing it. You can delete what you've done thus far and start over from where you're at. There was a time a couple years ago, I was sitting at the counter in the kitchen eating a meal, and I had pretty much had my fill, but there was still some morsels of food on the plate. And I was pretty full, but I was sitting there staring at this plate, trying to mind fuck myself into finishing eating this food, everything that was on the plate. And Anna, my girlfriend, looked at me and said, Dre, why? And she said, are you done? Are you full? Are you finished eating? And I said, yeah, I'm pretty full, but I need to finish this food. And she said, why do you need to finish it? If you're full, why do you need to finish the food? And I said, well, it's people out here in the world who don't have food, people who don't have meals. You know, since I have food, I should finish it. And she said, well, eating that food is not going to feed any of those starving people across the world. If you finish eating, just stop eating. And it was the first time I was over, I don't know how old I was, but over 30 years I had been alive. And I had never, that thought had never really occurred to me in my life, not on a really logical and practical level, because I had always been taught exactly what I said to her. There are people who don't have food, so since I have food, I should eat all of it. And she was the first person who logically made it hit home to me that I don't have to keep doing it just because I have this indoctrinated idea in my mind that didn't even make any logical sense. It's the same thing with you. Just because you've been doing it doesn't mean you can't delete it. And point number three, write with a different instrument. Robert Greene was trying to sound like 50 Cent's audience, but he knew he couldn't be 50 Cent's audience. As soon as he started writing like Robert Greene again, all of a sudden the book started sounding the way that it needed to sound. In other words, if you want to change your story, maybe you just need to try a different approach from what you've been doing. Maybe it's a brand new and novel approach. Maybe it's something that you've done before that you've just gotten away from. It sounds trite, sounds basic and simple, but you'd be surprised at how many people don't like their situations, yet they never adjust their approach. How about you? My book, Ask Yourself a Better Question, you can get at workonmygame.com/ask, A-S-K. Work on your game. Dre, all day. There are a lot of episodes in the back catalog of this podcast that I reference all the time. And finally, we have workonyourgamepodcast.com. Go there. You can get access to the archive of the show, all the publicly available episodes, and some bonuses that I'm going to give you that I'm not even going to tell you about right here. And a whole bunch of cool stuff that is coming very soon. So you better be there before the cool stuff comes or your ass might miss it. Work on your game podcast.com. Go there ASAP.